Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BB and Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. I jump straight in it, and an international search underway in the United Kingdom for hundreds of missing artworks created by children of the stolen generation from Western Australia's southwest. And they're going to catch up a yarn now with Kathleen Tumath, John Curtin Gallery, Carol Up Manager. And the statement here is, check your attics, worldwide search launch for missing stolen generation children's artwork. On the line, we have Kathleen. Good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor. How are you going?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
Based in Bentley in Perth.
Okay.
South of the river.
Good, sister. And before you start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Menang, Bibbulmun mob, so from the country where these artworks were created, southwest Great Southern. My mum was a recognised last living artist.
Yes.
Of the movement. She died just over a year ago, so we can say her name, Alma Tuma.
Yeah, with you in spirit, my sister. Look, fantastic. And so we're saying here, check your attics, worldwide search launch for missing stolen generation children's artwork. And your loving mother was one of those children that did the artwork, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. So how did this all come about, and where did the search start, and paint that picture regarding the missing stolen generation children's artwork?
Sure. So the settlement did start in 1915, but we're talking about the period of time around 1940s to 50s, where it had some infrastructure there and a state school was set up. So as you know, government was stealing children and removing them from their parents, making them into, you know, pastoral workers and domestic slaves, empire building business. And they got a new teacher in there who, he was a, you know, interestingly, was a musician.
Yes.
And he recognised he could not connect with those children. But he did see one young fella making artwork, and that was Parnell Dempster with some charcoal on some, you know, paper. So he encouraged the children to make work. And the first thing, they had no artwork materials, of course, so they were doing it with common chalk for blackboard chalk.
Yes.
And the first works all reflect that, you know, very limited palette.
Mm.
But what he was doing too, these children were not working on the artwork in the daytime because they chores in the morning at farming. Then they got schoolwork, then they got chores. He was taking them for a walk in the evening called a ramble to get those kids, you know, settled down to be locked up at night, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why you see also a lot of sunsets in those works.
Yeah.
So the children then did the work in the daytime, and he got so proud of what they were doing, he took it to the Katanning Agricultural Show. And when people looked at it, they just couldn't believe that black children had done this work. And they said to that school teacher, "You're lying, you must have done it."
Yeah.
So he got the boys and he got them demonstrated. And then they went on to do some exhibitions even in Bones in Perth, and people begin to see the merit of these children.
Yes.
Untaught artwork reflecting in their budjo of their country. And so I got into a magazine called M'lady, and that M'lady magazine came out in Perth, ironically at a time when this lady came over from the UK called Florence Rutter. She was a soroptimist and she wanted to help children, you know, mainly female things, and she wanted to set up chapters. So she saw this magazine. She went down on the train and the car, and she went to the settlement. She met with the teachers. She bought 300 works for £5, and she took them away to the UK, and then the children continued to create work. There's some sense that she might be able to return some money to the children to improve their lives, but we can't find that money trail.
Yes.
But subsequently, those children maybe sent thousands of works that got exhibited all over the UK. They went to Wales, to Scotland. The Queen's got one in her collection. The royal family in Holland have one in their collection. So these things were treated very importantly in the day, and we think also many may have been given away. But the thing for us is not about a sense of, you know, people might not want to give up that art when they find out that it is very valuable, but we need to know the names of the children,
yes,
if it is on the work, because that can identify the families and the connections of generation, because we're working to make a healing centre here around,
yep,
that artwork.
Yep.
And that's the important thing for us.
So we're talking stolen generation, we're talking stolen wages, we're talking stolen, yeah, artwork, you know, yeah, and we are storytellers. And them kids were telling, you know, their Dreamtime story, you could say, their communication, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's been stolen, taken away from them. Connection and all the above. When you look at it, Kathleen, this beautiful ancestors are working on the other side, aren't they?
Exactly, and
yes,
it's amazing how coincidence has happened. But, you know, even just talking up this story about UK, we've had lots of local response of people saying, I have a work, could you tell me about it? Some are dinkum, and they want to say, look, I'd like that return to their family if this,
yeah,
is so important. Other ones just see it as a value statement. But the thing is, we are wanting to connect with family. We're wanting to give a sense of what could be justice.
Yes.
We want to recognise that the children were used in empire building.
Yeah.
And also, you should see, once that was out in the community, the government quickly wanted to shut that centre down.
Exactly.
Because what it told people,
yes,
was, no, these children are not neanderthals. They are not, you know, fauna. These children are fully capable human beings.
Exactly.
And that puts the shame on the government. And so then
and shame, and hiding that shame as well, yeah, is why they want to prevent it from coming out.
Well, now they're open about it, and that's why it's important that,
yep,
our community here entrusted Curtin University to be the custodian of it for community, because the works are so fragile.
Yeah.
We actually, if they were not lost, this current collection, for nearly 50 years in a controlled environment, they might,
exactly,
not have been, you know, capable of coming back into our lives with such power and capacity to change people's ideas,
yes,
change their thinking.
Exactly. Empower them. And Kathleen, when you talk about the Queen's Own collection, I mean, that's devastating in itself, you know what I mean? But it shows you that the rapage and pillage of our culture, of our art, of our stories, is tenfold, isn't it?
Indeed, because, you know, as they want to decolonise spaces, especially, you know, museums and so on, we have to understand how they started. You know,
yes,
that was rich people going around the world collecting,
exactly,
stuff that they felt in their own homes. Then they passed on into places they want looked after forever.
Yeah.
But they have to understand that they are truly about, in the sense of what is reconciliation.
Mm.
Well, the first thing you want to reconcile is make people equal enough that you respect them to give them back,
exactly,
their cultural items.
Exactly.
Things that made them feel strong. And then you can start having that conversation. And that's why, in a sense, well, we've got a good value statement going on here.
So, Sister, you're the manager of the John Curtin Gallery, Carol Up. Is this the organisation that's chasing this artwork? And there's a government funding at the table for this?
Yes, well, recently, because we are looking to actually build a centre, which is bricks and mortar, which we don't have at this stage.
Yep.
But as of next year, it will be 10 years that the collection has back been in Wajarrabuja on behalf of the Noongar Nature,
yep,
Nation. So we, you know, you need an A-class environment to look after these works.
Yes.
They needed to go through conservation, even to be able to be looked at. You know, there's tight measures around reproduction. You can't go reproducing things that don't belong to you,
exactly,
formally, even though you are a custodian. So we have a Cultural Elders Reference Group, which helps make those decisions. And they are descendants of Carol Up and both Marybank. Because we can't forget, too, that after Carol Up was shut, then it went into, religious hands, became a Marybank. And they have their own also art movement that went on and occurred on, too. So there's a long timeline to tell of what's been happening,
exactly,
in that settlement.
Look, I think you get a lot of support from, you know, the so-called artists of the world in this country, you know, and especially Indigenous art. I mean, the legality side of things. I'm thinking IATSIS, you know. There's so many different organisations that can support, you know, the findings of this stolen generation of children's artwork. And thank you very much for sharing, Kathleen. Please do keep in touch in regard to watching the space closely and a very important movement you got going on there, Kathleen, sister.
Thank you, Trevor, and thank you for everyone listening. You get hold of us anytime. We've got any good news to share. We would love to be talking up to all our people over there.
Good. Yeah, okay, my sister. You take care. All the best to the mob there, and we'll talk soon, sissy.
Yep. No worries. Bye, one.
Bye. Beautiful yarn there. Kathleen Toomath, her name is, manager Kowalup Centre, Curtin University. And we are looking for, they're asking us to check your attics, is what they're saying in regard to worldwide search launched for missing stolen generation of children's artwork. And even talk about there's some artwork in the Queen's own collection. So look, there it is. And how long has this been going on for? And how many different art pieces or First Nation people globally out there that we don't know of? So look, very important space. And we're talking about celebrating, we just celebrated Kaiaf, Kansas Indigenous Art Fair, and all the different art exhibitions around this country, and First Nation art is way up there regarding world renowned and high up there in the financial sense as well. We talk about giving back to the actual owners or the families remembrance, and also for a collection, and also the financial side of things as well. So very important space there. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number is 1-800-422-416.
Like a long silver bullet, see it rolling in the sun. The driver's got the hammer and a boy, he's having fun. There's cattle on the tracks, but there's no stopping here. I gotta get to Adelaide and now I'm getting in. The passengers are looking out the windows at the towns as the train rolls closer to the city where it's bound. The carriage
to the place where I am dreaming. The cool breeze brushes my face. Take me to that place.
Take me to that place.
Place that I call
now, love. Now,
swear church bells are ringing. School kids are playing and singing on their way.
On their way
to the place that they call home.
Love.
I never want to leave that feeling. That feeling that I can't forget. The words that Mama said when she whispered to me to come on. Now I'm sitting under this big tree where we found a love that set us free to find our way. Turn it all around. When I fail, love prevails. You say, my child, I am proud.
My child, I am proud.
Come on, come on home.
Kunia la gaka. Kunia la gaka. Kunia la gaka. Now love.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Listen to the wind, traveling free. Feel the breeze so gently. Listen to the birds, watch them fly. Hear them singing, soaring high, soaring high. They touch the sky. Watching the sunrise, watch. When that warmth hits you, you feel alright. Gazing at the moon puts you in a trance. Oh yeah. Dormy.
been swept up by her mouth. I wanna wake up feeling fine. I want you to be mine. We will always be together, love forever and ever. This must be what it feels like to have the one you love beside. All your senses, they are I've been swept up by romance. I wanna wake up feeling fine. I want you to be mine. We will always be together. Love forever and ever. Ever and ever. We'll be fine.
Yeah, a deadly track there. That's Lovolution, Green Hand Band, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, new mob? Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 0457140550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. You are yarning with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bumba Bumba Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Is Radio Service. Look at the top stories in the news today. Splendour in the Grass, 2022. Bus chaos, nauseous, mud, and public urination at an unbelievable, awful time. Police investigating a video of John Balero in scuffle with cameraman. Tech issues, dense fog throws Sydney Airport into chaos. Australians a haven for Cambodian regimes, dirty money. I was trying to shut down a culture war, Bill Shorten says. Bill Shorten says he intervened in the use of Medicare for a form that used general neutral language to diffuse an ugly culture war and called for trans issues to be debated with tolerance. Other news here, Elon Musk's friendship with Google co-founder Serge Brin erupted by alleged affair. Other stories here. Nathan Lyons says, I do, after Messi split. My knees creak, my eyes have fallen, my memory shot, everyone ignores me. I love being 57. Kate Moss sets the record straight on Johnny Depp teenage nudity and drug taking. And Putin's unexpected challenge snubs from his Central Asian allies. So there it is regarding the headlines for news today. I'll let you know what's happening in your area with your mob or with your clan, with your organisation. All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And Jan Upstrong here with the Bully One. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Daily number once again is 1-800-422-416. So Jan Upstrong here on National Talk Black. It is your show, Murray just doing a ship. I'd love to hear what you've got to say, your mob. New research reveals a significant generational gap when it comes to discussing mental health. New research reveals that 25 to 34-year-olds are most likely to open up about their mental health, with the over 65s the least likely. Older Australians are most likely to experience depression or depressive feelings. This International Self-Care Day, 24 July, Classics for a Cause is encouraging Aussies to open up about their mental health and contribute to ongoing intergenerational conversations. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Alicia Michelle Glenn, transformational coach and mental health advocate on the line. Alicia, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, sis?
I am in Sydney at the moment.
In Sydney, all right, fantastic. So looking at this space here, when we talk about a pandemic, COVID-19, well, the mental health is a pandemic in itself, isn't it, regarding people's thought process and all ages and all genders, yes?
Yes, absolutely. I think that we need to cover this more, which is why it's amazing that we're getting the word out now about why mental health is so important, because everyone's lives got shaken up so much during the pandemic and we're all still recovering to some degree.
Well, exactly. Now, your story as well, in your 20s, as experienced with mental health disorder, I believe that it's vital people speak about their mental health to move forward with their lives. When you're talking about how you feel and how you're thinking or what's going on, that's half the battle, isn't it? If you admit to it, you can fix it, yeah?
Absolutely. I always do say that the first step is often the hardest, which is asking for help, because I still feel that there's a lot of shame and stigma around opening up and being vulnerable and it being not seen as weak and actually seen as a strength. So I encourage everyone to open up if they can and just make that first step, because when you become conscious of it, you can definitely start to change it.
Well, when you look at a sprained ankle or broken arm, you go and get it fixed, you know. So sometimes we have an injury with our mind. So that needs to be fixed. That's what we need to promote. Is that right, Alicia?
That's exactly right. Yeah, there's more to us than just the physical body. And I think that's what we're all starting to realise here, is we've got emotional health, mental health, and also our spiritual health to some degree, and our, you know, our insides and our intuition and things like that, for sure.
And so, look, it's a family affair, isn't it? We all need help in all aspects of life, whether it be a financial coach, if you're in financial dramas, or same thing in with the mental health. We need to have family support and be open to looking at what's going on, so we can reach out and support our loved ones.
Yeah, definitely. And what I found, even healing from my own mental health disorder, you know, as in the 25 to 34-year-old age bracket, I'm 27, and when I started to open up about my mental health, my parents and my grandparents were actually able to open up just as much, and it actually brought us closer together to feel like we're less alone. So I think that this can really contribute, as Classics for a Cause has revealed, that over 65 is the least likely.
Sure.
So when we start to open up, it gives other people permission to open up as well and be vulnerable.
Well, they say the best exercise for your heart is when you're bending down, lifting somebody up, you know. So we need to be open-minded for it as well. And you don't have to be a psychologist to listen to somebody, but you can then guide them or direct them or pull somebody in to the table, to the conversation, in regarding for the next step for support, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I didn't heal through just psychotherapy. That's why I'm a transformational coach, and I do psychic mediumship and other holistic alternative practices that I find work really well for people who have tried everything and they're after something a little bit different. So we need to open up that conversation around there's not just one way to heal, because we're all so unique and we need different modalities and alternative therapies to help us individually.
Look, I never heard the title as well, Transformational Coach and Mental Health Advocate. Is there many of you around, or anybody become a transformational coach in mental health if they've been down that path, yes?
Absolutely. And I think that when we have lived through our own personal experience, yes, we have the professional qualification to go along with it, but we're almost a living, walking testimonial of what it is to heal and transform. And that actually inspires people very much so. So, yeah, it's a really great way to give back to all the people who helped me transform my life.
So do you know of other transformational coaches out there?
Oh, there's plenty of them around, definitely. Yeah, it's a big industry and a growing industry in the self-help and personal development field. So all you have to do is type it into Google and you will absolutely find some really wonderful coaches out there who help you get to the root cause of your problems.
And is there a course as such, or is this just from life experiences?
No, there's many different courses that you can do. I'm qualified in neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy, timeline therapy. That's just to name a few.
Yes.
So you can just look up, all of these life coaching qualifications. But I would definitely suggest to have the practical experience behind you, because it just adds that level of depth and being able to relate with your clients on a whole new level.
All right, fantastic. And as the statement earlier, this International Self-Care Day, which is on 24 July, Classics for a Cause to encourage Aussies to open up about their mental health and contribute to ongoing intergenerational conversations. So the yarns must be had.
Absolutely. Let's get the conversation started like we're doing today.
Alicia, good yarn with you. You take care, sis. We'll talk soon.
You too. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Adela Yanda, Alicia Michelle Glenn, transformational coach and mental health advocate. So that's a new research reveals significant generational gap when discussing mental health. And the date there is our self-care day, 24 July. I'd like to extend that. Self-care day is 365 days a year, and that's what it's all about. So have your eyes and ears open in regards to family, friends, someone nearby. And like I said, you don't have to be a psychologist, just to have a cup of tea and have an open mind and open ears for the yarn, and then guide that individual to support, help. And there's help out there. So fantastic. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
So tossed and driven, billows rise within the hearts of every man. Storms so many times would leave the heart with questions. I don't need to understand. Just hold his hands. I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand. I don't ever need to ask the reason why. For I know the night.
This heartbreak, how many wrong turns will you take? How long can you keep on making the same mistake? When I'm waiting here, sweet roses, sweet roses, takes my breath away. Sweet roses, sweet roses, in the light of day. Sweet roses.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Sweet Roses, Grant Hanson's featuring Paul Kelly here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Disability Service. All right, goal of eliminating eye disease, trachoma, by 2025 under threat as pandemic bites. New federal minister responsible for Indigenous health said the pandemic has contributed to missing a goal of eliminating eye disease, trachoma. Australia is the most developed country in the world where trachoma, which causes blindness, is linked to poor face hygiene, is still prevalent. New system minister, Malindiri McCarthy, has declared overcoming trachoma is one of her priorities in the job, but said would need to fully appreciate the situation before she could set a timeline. We're going to catch up with Yana, Professor Hugh Taylor, Harold Mitchell Chair of Indigenous Eye Health. On the line, Professor Hugh, good morning. How are you?
Oh, terrific. Thanks, Trevor, and good morning to you and to your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, Professor. Where are you based, sir?
In Melbourne, at the University of Melbourne.
All right. Fantastic. So, look, pardon the pun, but a dim light ahead in regarding a goal, eliminating eye disease trachoma by 2025.
Yeah, well, it depends if you look at the glass being half full or half empty.
Okay. yes.
We've made a lot of progress on trachoma over the last number of years. In 2008, about 21% of the kids in the remote communities had trachoma, and there was something like over 200 communities where trachoma was a problem.
Okay.
And we've now got it down overall. The average for the area is around 4%, so that's really good. And we've got only about 50 or 60 communities where it's still a problem.
Mm.
But we do have a number of communities where more than 20% of kids still have trachoma, so it is a problem and we still need to address it.
So when we're talking trachoma, it causes blindness. There's no coming back once you hit that stage?
But the active infection is in the little kids and they need lots of infection, maybe 100 or 150 times that they need to be infected to get enough damage to cause scarring that then causes blindness in adult life and later life.
And what's the cause of it, Professor?
It's this bacterial infection. It's a chlamydial infection, not the same as the one that gives the genital tract infection, but just the one that infects the eyes.
Mm.
And it spread from one little kid to the other because of the,
it's just contagious, is it?
Yeah, it is infectious and contagious. And the, you know, the tear strain through the nose, so it's with infected nose secretions and eye secretions. And the little kids are playing together or sleeping together or you know, whatever, and they're just reinfecting each other all the time. So we have to keep the little kids' faces clean.
And so what are we doing in regard to First Nation health organisations? Have they got tools to equip to help with this problem?
Well, yes, some of it is with the Aboriginal Community Control Health Organisations, but there is also the teams that are either run by the Territory or WA South Australia governments or working with the ATSOs in particular areas, who go around once a year to screen the kids and give them antibiotic treatment, which is terrific. And that's what's really brought it down a lot.
Good.
But to get rid of these last levels, we've got to make sure the kids have access to those safe and functional washing facilities so they can actually wash their faces.
Yes.
Because if your bathroom's broken down, doesn't work, how can you wash your face?
Housing. It all is snowball effect, doesn't it?
Yeah, so housing is really critical. And keeping clean is not only good for trachoma, but it stops otitis media and deafness. It stops rheumatic heart disease.
Mm.
It stops chronic kidney disease often, and also the skin infections and other infections. So it's really a broad hygiene approach by making sure all the kids have safe and functional bathrooms.
And it's also talking about cleansing habits. It takes 30 days to create a habit. So family and young families, especially if you're a young couple that have a baby and then have two babies, get the foundation of cleanliness from the get-go, and then it creates that that habit, good habit, you could say.
Absolutely correct. And what we found is in the areas where trachoma has disappeared now, we have about 90% of the kids have clean faces if they're 1 to 4 or 5 to 9 or 10 to 15. So it's about 90% all the way through.
Yes.
But in the areas where trachoma is still a problem, only about 30% of the 1 to 4-year-olds have a clean face, and 60% of the 5 to 9s, and about 90% of the 10 to 15. So it's a 30-60-90 rule. And so we really got to focus on those 1 to 4-year-olds and also the 5 to 9-year-olds. And often they're kids, as you say, first kid of young parents and stuff.
Mm.
And so it's really getting them used to the knowledge and the need to keep their kids' faces clean.
Well, I don't want to say, but when you look at the pandemic in regards to COVID-19, the rules in regarding 1.5 metres, continue washing your hands, that could be a good omen, so to speak, in regarding trachoma.
Yes, that's right, and I think there's a lot of synergy with that and with the COVID messages. And we've also had Milpa the Trachoma Goanna being our mascot to promote the clean faces.
Okay.
And so last year Milpa got the COVID vaccines as a good role model and example.
Yeah, exactly. So a double whammy there. But thank you very much for sharing, Professor Hugh. We've still got a lot of work to do, but great to have this conversation on National Talk Black. Thank you very much.
Terrific, Trevor. Thank you very much for your interest and good luck.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. That's Professor Hugh Taylor, Harold Mitchell Chair of Indigenous Eye Health. And there is it's under threat regarding the goal of eliminating eye disease, trachoma, by 2025. A backward step in regarding the work that's been done. And we're talking about money at the table and getting out to remote areas and protecting our children who are catching this disease, trachoma, and eye disease, and also it threatens blindness as well. So a very important conversation there. 8 minutes left on the program, new mob, so have your saying yarn up strong. Orly is here on National Talk Black. You have a quick yarn and talk about what's happening in your area, your mob, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.